Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the VPS podcast. Today, I am really excited to talk to our guest. This is Dr. Helene Nguyen. She's a board certified surgeon and founder of Feet and Beyond of New Jersey, which is a hybrid concierge model podiatry practice specializing in minimal invasive foot and ankle care. She's utilizing regenerative medicine and cutting-edge treatments in her practice, which is keeping her on the forefront of innovation. She's extremely sought after as a mentor and speaker, especially in the minimal invasive surgical space, and is even a recurring guest on her local broadcast station with a segment called Tips for Toes, which I really love. So really, she's just an example of like doing all the things. Let's welcome Dr. Nguyen. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for having me.
Yes. I am really excited to talk to you. I think we have a lot of movement in the medical space for people that are wanting to consider getting into kind of more of these hybrid type concierge practices, maybe being a little less insurance based, especially with reimbursements going down. So I really wanted to get your perspective on this. Go ahead and if you can, just kind of describe your model of practice and like what hybrid concierge is really looking like for you.
Absolutely. So just a really quick background. After I graduated from my training, I with a mindset of open my own practice because I didn't want to work for anybody.
Yep.
And just like everyone else, we struggle. We go through a lot of trials and errors to learn to navigate through the whole entire medicine landscapes, I would say. Young practitioner, so the idea of to run a medical practice, it says we have to get on board with as many insurance panel as possible in order to survive. And that is actually, now to come and think about it, there's still a lot of doctors out there that I talk to, they still think with that mindset. Because we so rely on insurance and all we know is just insurance.
Yeah.
We don't know anything other than not having insurance. And the realization come to mind is about 10 years ago, actually, I would say like 12 years ago, that's when we embarked into the minimally invasive world and my practice transforming into exclusively doing minimal invasive surgery.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's when we see completely the shift is coming. But at that time, my mindset is that, hey, you know what? I have the volume of patients here. I can care so much for my patient. You know what? Why I need to opt out? So the idea of opt out is never came to mind because we think that if we opt out, we're going to lose that volume.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
It's horribly scary.
We've been working so hard to get to that volume that, like, you know, we consider ourselves having on a sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
and hoping that we can make profit. But really, now you really think back that, you know, from day one until 12 years later, we struggle every year. Every year, the reimbursement is coming down. We never get a raise.
Nope.
Never, ever.
Nope.
So what happened with my practice that we navigate through that by joining the supergroup. We're joining the ACO.
I didn't know you did that. Okay.
So just so that we can get on more of the insurance panel so that we can get to see more patients and guess what? Get to the point of burnout. Burnout happened that we don't have enough time to care for our patient on the visit. The reimbursement is down and we constantly that in that rat race. So how much is, you know, as a point that we cause enough? That's never enough.
Yeah. Now, with you guys going through, because I kind of want to touch on that a little bit. I think people are, you know, obviously still in that volume mindset. We don't feel like we're making money unless we're seeing a ton of people. What was that burnout like for you guys? Like, when was that moment of, okay, we need to change this?
So the burnout for us, at least for me and my husband, is that we seeing 40 patients every day, two of us together see 80 patients a day.
Oh my gosh.
And we had to have three front desks. We had to have three MA to support that kind of volume. And after that, our day wasn't end at all because we didn't have charge. We need to complete it. We're running behind on charge, on documentation. If the patient call up, we have to like take time to get to taking care of their issues. And then we don't have that personnel to take care of because every day to us is so busy. And we keep running around at that time. We didn't have our family, we haven't have kids yet. So I just can't imagine it's like the doctors who have family, who had to go home to their family. You know, at least that we, for my husband and I, we call our practice as our home. We don't need to go home.
This is our baby.
It's our baby. So that burnout has happened is that at the point that I really question what I'm doing. When you, I think like for us, when we go to medical school, we want to help patient. We want to do no harm. But actually, by not being there 100% for our patient, by rushing in and rushing out, not hearing what the patient complain about, and it's actually harming patient, and it's also harming self. Because it's gonna catch up to us at some point.
Oh
And
yeah.
I got really depressed when certain patient treatment outcome didn't work out. I was like, oh, if I just have that extra spend extra 5 minutes to the with the patient, I may be able to help them or hear their concern. And we can always do 150% for our patient. We always feel like we never done enough for our patient. Just our nature, right? That's why we study to be a doctor.
That's
We
it.
signed up to care for patients, for people. And that is when that the conflicted mindset coming in. We work so hard and try to get through our day. We try to see as many patients because we think we're helping the community. But do we really helping them? Are we harming them?
And our current system's really built based on that. See as many people as you can, and we're going to pay you slightly less every year for doing it. And it's just it can't sustain, my opinion.
And I think in medicines, right? So what do we normally do? We try to be creative on our protocol, our workflow. We get MA doing certain things that, to substitute into the time that we rather for us to see the patient and take care of them. We have our MA to do that. We have our front desk to do that. We have our office manager to do that to certain things. But those are the things, if you really think about it, it's all emotional interaction. And that cannot be replaced. We are it. We're the only one who can do that one-on-one with our patient.
So
And
when
that's
did
why every time that we have some outcome, it doesn't come out the way that we want it, we feel so bad about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When did you decide, what year was it that you decided to kind of make that leap and start looking at this differently?
So I decided to make that leap is, believe it or not, COVID. COVID really pushed us. COVID really pushed us because we saw the volume went like overnight,
Way down,
way down overnight. And we were seeing many patients, and also an overnight or the routine visit or whatever, new patient is no longer coming in because everything shut down. And the insurance, so that's when I realized that we rely so much on the insurance to bring us patient. And it's not sustainable anymore.
No, not at all. Not at all. What was the big mentality change that you feel like you had to go through at that point?
So with an participate or credential with many insurance, of course, we also part of the HMOs. HMOs is give us the mo most trouble, but we think we need them. So we keep them in our panel and everything. So we decided to, let's see if we can just opt out one insurance and see how that will work.
Start small.
So small, right? So the idea of like opting out is just like really nervy too because I'm running the practice. So when we see the volume drop and it just very fearful in the way that, oh, can we be able to get more new patient in? And when we drop that one very low pay HMO plan, and we open up more space for people that we can help and with a better reimbursement, give us less issues. So, and it's kind of work out. And at that time, so we're like, okay, I think maybe it's good, but we still, of course, are very skeptic about it because that idea is very new.
It is. Yes.
And I think that we had a few meetings with each other, right? At in Chicago, we talk about that.
We did.
We all fear. Are we re ready to get rid of Medicare?
Boy, that was a whew. I feel like I needed a cocktail after
Exactly. So
that
it was tough. It was tough just to idea to opt out. And it's a of course we don't advise any doctor to say, oh, okay, like just wake up one day and just opt out every insurance because you're fed up with it. I mean, you have to strategically plan for it because it's affecting so many, not just a doctor, the livelihood at our staff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the other part to consider. I think a lot of people forget about, the business side of the office. I mean, obviously our big focus is to take care of our patients, but when you're running your private practice, you also have employees that are dependent on you. You have those patients that are dependent on your practice staying open. So if we don't spend the time to pay attention to the revenue coming in that we're successful enough to be able to pay our employees and provide these really good jobs, like those are other people that are depending on you too.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Correct. So just imagine we have eight employee under us beside the two doctors. So I
Gosh.
mean we have 10 mouths to feed.
That's so many.
And
But
just
if you're
so
seeing 40
many.
people a day a piece, that's
Right.
reasonable.
Yes. So it's a whole operation. It's a really like we run really tight ship, but it just still it's so many things administrative wise that we have to handle in the background. It's just ridiculous. We're counting on medical doctor to give us a referral in order for us to get paid. That's the HMO model. We count on the insurance to give us an authorization to get paid for the procedure that we perform. That is another like factor into it. And even if we get authorized, we not necessarily it's a guarantee of payment.
They may still not pay.
So those stress beside like handling every patient's complaint every day, like 40, what kind of job as a doctor or like no, what kind of job out there you dealing with 40 separate complaint every day?
Absolutely.
So I think that's the burnout rate is become so like extremely high for doctors.
And when you went about, I mean, you and I definitely talked about the process of how do we decide which insurances to drop when. What was the process of analyzing that, like from a high level view, what were you guys looking at to decide who to drop when and like how to slowly back out of this?
Yeah, so what we did, we during pandemic, we have nothing better to do.
It's a good use of your time.
Yes. So and we want to retain our staff, so we don't want to lay off anybody, so we have projects. So everybody have different projects and from front to back office and my office manager. So we run reports. We run reports of the performance report. And I think we can plug in any of EMR out there that we can get that performance report. And we see what is the highest payers and lowest payer. And if it's the lowest payers, what are the volume?
What percentage of your practice does that
What's percentage
actually
of our
equate to?
practice? Right. So, I mean, and then we came up with that the very definitive number there, which is the HMO, has the lowest payment, but it gives us the most time consuming for our staffing effort to get authorization to getting the referral and the patient populations in that category. I don't want to like bundle everybody in the same boat, but we look at that point and that's how we make the decision.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's another part of it. I mean, the basic way, right? Yeah, like you were saying, was to, just look at, okay, what percentage of my practice does this make? And then how much am I getting reimbursed for, like, my basic codes or 99213s, 214s, whatever. You do, your top 10 codes. I usually just pulled that. But the other part of it, you're right, is looking at how much time is that actually taking your staff? So, like, you also have an hourly rate that you're paying your staff now to go get all these prior authorizations. You may be paying your billing company a separate amount, if you have a billing company or an in-house biller, their time to go chase down these claims because they've got a habit of denying so much percent of them. So, if you really want to delve into the weeds, like, you got to consider that kind of stuff too. Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
another thing that, sometimes we cannot just look at the reimbursement alone. We look at the time because that time, a lot of us, we don't see
No.
because our staff is doing it.
Right. We're in the rooms. Yeah.
We're in the room seeing patient. But
Yeah.
if you really break down, think about it, like some of my colleagues in the same region say, Helene, HMO pay for orthotics better than any private or commercial insurance. Why you opt out? So my answer to them is that the reason we opt out is not about the reimbursement. It's all the hassle they put our office through
Yeah.
to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing too that I think when you start opting out of stuff and insurances, it's interesting too because I know for me, I got calls from other practices, practices that have been around for 20 and 25 years, and I definitely hadn't been around that long when I dropped Medicare, and I remember them calling me being like, "Are you insane?" And I'm like, "I sure hope not." But I'm sticking to it. Like I'm going off my numbers here. That's all I can do, but there was that, kind of you've got to get in the mental headspace that like this is going to be okay and you trust your numbers and you're making the decision. And then once you make the decision and you pull it off, then you've got to deal with all of the head trauma of everybody going, "What are you doing?"
I mean, like, I think that we have the technologies on our side. We can do a lot of research, run all different reports, and we can cross-reference those reports. And also the timing, like the time spent for our staff to handle those kind of trouble claims, right? We got authorization. How long does it take its authorization to do? And then that, like, every, I mean, authorization is not an easy process. They can
No.
say yes or no. But the wait to get to actual agent at the insurance side to give us a definitive and give us a accurate information so we can get paid or reimbursed. So that is one another thing that is a factor right into that. Otherwise, it's just going to be a waste of effort. And we count on that to make a living. Money, cash flow is a bloodline for every practice.
It really any business. And the crazy part for medicine is that we get reimbursed, like we're getting reimbursed. The concept of getting reimbursed for something, it's like you've already done the service. Why aren't we getting paid for the service? I can't do that to my plumber. Like, he comes out, I have to pay him like before he even does the work, realistically.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so medicine is just, it's very, very, I feel backwards in how it's structured in terms of running a business. And it's, I do think that one of the beautiful things about not relying on insurance is that it totally changes the game for your cash flow. Totally
Absolutely.
changes it.
Yes.
It's it rather than thinking about your 30-day window of April based on what you technically might have done the end of February into March, maybe, but some of it's coming in from January. Like it's just, it's insane. It's insane. How do you track what you're doing from a business
Oh, you
standpoint?
right. Absolutely. I agree with you. For us, the first quarter of every year is a time that we like, okay, let's save up. We should not spend anything because of deductible time. The claim is gonna take forever to process and everything, right? So like we going through that pattern. Like after 20 years in practice, I was like, you know what? For the first time, like after we completely opt out, we actually completely opt out beside Medicare. We still take Medicare right now.
Oh, you do?
3 years ago, yeah, I still
Yeah.
take Medicare, so that's why we're still in a hybrid model for that
Perfect.
reason. Obviously, every practitioner is depends on their demographic, their
Yeah.
their practice autonomy. For me, 50% of my patients are elderly,
Right.
and what I'm doing, I'm helping the elderly, to get their feet in good health. So that using my surgical skill to get them moving, because that's my mission. So for that, I still gonna continue to see Medicare patient,
Right.
but we completely opt out of all the commercial, all the insurance 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And for the first time, like when the first year that we did that, and I realized that deductible is no longer be a threat for us.
Right.
So cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly it's not, there's not that big drop off.
Right. Yes. And all of a sudden, like the AR is not as much anymore.
Right. Yeah. Now, with your reimbursement for your area, because it's different everywhere, is Medicare one of the higher paying than commercial, or is it about even, or where does it sit?
It's compatible, competitive enough in my
Okay.
regions. Unfortunately, yes, of course, there are certain things Medicare doesn't cover, like
Sure.
orthotics and that
Orthotics.
sort of
Yeah.
thing. But for me, for us, it's actually like whatever we do a lot of regenerative medicine, we do laser, we do all the the services that even with insurance, they're not going to cover it anyway. So it kind of like a workout situation. So when we decided to opt out everything, and like I said, I went back to say that my
Yeah.
fear is to have I see that drop of volume, and I'm very fearful for that, because how are we gonna have enough revenue? But somehow the universe is really give us that open space that all the patient who kind of like know about us fall into the category, which is a Medicare, or they have out network benefit and they still want to continue to get the care. They come in to see us, and they're willing to pay cash for it because they know there's certain insurance plan, they don't pay for everything.
Yeah, and I think for my practice, we were I had a straight up 80-20 rule. I mean, you know the rule, right? Like 80% of your time is spent on 20% of your income. I actually had an insurance that was literally 80% of my practice and 20% of my revenue. And I did the same thing. It was a, oh my gosh, if I drop this, my volume is going to tank. Like completely tank. And you have to get out of that mentality that volume equals income, volume. And I still catch myself doing it. It's been 4 years. I still freak out a little bit when I don't have a busy schedule on the books. I'm like, oh my God. And then my staff will be like, hey, remember, look at the type of appointments you have. You've got regenerative medicine, you've got lasers, you've got a surgery consult, you've got a new patient consult. It's like, right. Okay. Yeah. We were going for quality, not quantity. Thank you for the reminder. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right. Yeah. We
So,
do feel that because we are business owner, right? When the number is going down, we feel for that. And one thing that I talk to all the colleagues, the same thing, like, with my husband as well, a lot of things that we don't see that we didn't even realize that. One thing that we see, why we fear, because we see the volume go down. We see that, oh, volume is related to revenue.
Right.
So that's another one that's fear, right? But one, like a few things that we don't see that. What happened when we see less patient? What is the benefit of that?
Yeah.
Our staff don't have to spend hours on the phone to get referral, to get authorization. That time that's spent on the AR to go over AR. Those we don't see, because what we don't see, we don't know, right? So those are the advantage. Like right now, even my VAs, they used to make like do the eligibility, the authorizations at least like 40 to 50 call every day. And now they're like, wow, doc, we actually feel relieved that you decide to opt out.
They can give you better quality work too, because they're not being stretched so thin.
And they be able to listen, handle phone calls so much better because they're not in hurry to hang up on a patient. and be able to be there for the patient. And same thing with us. We don't have a whole waiting room full of patients is waiting and we rush in and out. I'm there. I spend 30 minutes every one of my patients, be able to hear what they're concerned and be able to be there for the patient, the attention that we need. And those are the things we don't see that until we opt out.
And did you notice that increase in, patient outcome being better, like you were suspected?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
I did too.
of course, like whatever we feel, okay, sometimes like some doctor out there, because we very analytical, it's like, okay, how do you know that we still make enough money and everything? Run the report.
Right, run
Yeah.
the numbers.
Numbers
Numbers aren't going
doesn't
to lie
numbers
to
not gonna
you.
lie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, numbers
So
don't
we
matter how afraid
actually
you
we
are.
right. So for the first year after we opt out, except Medicare, that first year, we actually make more.
Isn't that funny?
And we see less patients, so our RVU is so much higher. And the funny part that we part of the super group in New Jersey, right? So every year that the group will run an RVU report for every doctors in the group.
Oh, interesting. How's
And
how do yours
we have
look?
the lowest volume, okay, compared to all the doctors, like for especially for me, I have the lowest volume of patient, but my RVU is the highest.
Oh, that's proof right there. Love that.
So, I mean, for those out there and really fear about, okay, you know what? I'm gonna have see less patients, so I'm gonna make less profit. Is that really the truth? Just run a number and you'll find out.
Just sit down and do it. And it's still going to be scary, and you're still going to have moments going through in the years that follow, like, well, should I have done that? Would this be easier if I was doing something different? And it's going to come up. But honestly, 99% of the time, I'm thankful I did what I did. Like the hybrid model's so much better for me. It's not for everybody. I mean, how
It's
do you
up.
go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, how do you feel that your demographic and your area played into this? Like, do you feel like this is something anybody can do anywhere, or do you feel like there's certain, components of your community, maybe you're in, the insurance demographic makeup that kind of helped or would be more challenging for people? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the hybrid model or direct care model, like whatever a non-insurance model, I would say, is depends on the demographic. It's big, major. I mean, if you're in the working class environment, definitely people, there will be a population out there, they want to use the insurance, whether, we like it or not, because they pay for it. Human nature, if you pay for something, you want to use it. We have so many like so many patients criticize us. Oh, you just it's all about money. That's why you opt out. Ma'am, sir, that's not how it works. If we all about money, we wouldn't be in medicine.
Right, this is not the field we would have picked. Let's be real. This is
Yeah.
because I don't want to have to kick you out the door every 5 minutes so that I can see the next person.
Yeah, so we actually that we it all depends on where they at. And it's also the mindset of the doctor too. And one thing that I gotta say is a multi factors that to make a successful hybrid model or direct care model is the location, the people in the community, and what you do. What you do different.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes, let's talk about that. So one of the other things that I think I see a lot of new practices do, and it makes sense, right? It goes along with the same mentality as let's get on as many insurance panels as we can. It's that I'm going to see everything in my field from A to Z. I'm not going to specialize any of it. I'm not going to have a niche. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to be able to literally take anybody that walks in the door. How do you feel like that's different for a hybrid practice or a just non-insurance practice?
Yeah, so I mean, if you and me, let's say we in the same town, We advertise the same thing, the a la carte, on our website, A to Z. You take insurance, I do not. So if people call us, right, and want to make appointment to my practice, but oh, Dr. Nguyen, you don't take the insurance, but Dr. Sarah did, so we're gonna go to her. So that is the, really, that's really what it is. But how we're gonna overcome that is like, okay, so do you have the time to spend with the patient? That's make it different. Rather than the doctor who take insurance, they spend 5 minutes to the patient. Whereas for me, we spend 30 minutes. We really listen to the patient. So that's one point, the experience, right? And the second thing is, do you have time to talk to the patient about the option not covered by insurance? Like shockwave therapy, laser therapy, regenerative therapy, which we know is never covered by insurance. But if we're in the insurance model, we don't have that time
No, to even have
to
those discussions.
even dig deep. Is that really what the patient need? And if they say no, we just think, oh, okay, this patient is too cheap. I'm not going to spend any time. I'll move on to the next patient. We don't have the time to really sit down. What if this patient really need more information?
To make a proper decision. I mean,
Right. It's a big
that's our whole
investment.
purpose. Yeah, that's our whole purpose. Here's all the options. You make the decision that's going to work best for your health, but I want time to be able to do that. I need time to be able to talk about all of the options. I agree.
Right. And especially nowadays, right? We're very conscious about our spending.
Oh God,
We don't
yeah.
know what's going on. What is like going on in the society right now? The market is crashing. Is that going to come back?
I mean, there's a lot of turbulence, and a lot of people are pulling back on just kind of that extra discretionary spending.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
But one thing that we as a doctor, what we need to do, that's some, that's why the patient come to see it. This is the pivotal moment that I come to realization. When I talk to the patient come to see us for a reason. What is the reason? Our expertise. They trust us that we can help them. But if we just in and out, one foot in the door, one foot out the door, do we really be able to help them that sense?
No, yeah.
And if the doctor not be able to share whatever their concern, like, okay, Mr. Smith, if I'm gonna give you two options, the long-term option and the short-term option, you choose. The short term that will get you to where you at, that you can pain-free, but it will come back. Or the long term that whatever we're doing, yes, it may take some additional time from you, but that we're gonna guarantee that these issues will not or may not come back. Because why? You need to get back to work quicker. You need to continue to be the hero of your family, go to work to make money to support your family. So by breaking all those down for the patient, they will see that, okay, that their physical pain, which is the condition they come to see us for, it's validate that their decision to come to see us. But that is when I didn't see that until I opt out. That's why I f went full force after I drop out all the opt out or HMO, and then I start opt out with UnitedHealthcare, Cigna, whatever, like Oxford. The last one, the commercial one that I opt out is Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh my God. Everybody in my patients' population is like, Dr. Nguyen, are you crazy? Even my colleagues said that, Helene, what is going on? Blue Cross Blue Shield paid the best. But what happened with Blue Cross Blue Shield? Why I opt out? Because they have so many plans. The plan that is so confusing, it's confusing to the patient and it's confusing to me. I'm not sure we on insurance with certain plan. So we didn't know. So until that we authorize that we call and check. And then when we check and it's like, oh, okay, we part of it. And then we did surgery and end up that, oh, you know what? You're out network.
Ugh.
So now we have to go
Yeah.
back to the beginning and talk to our patients that, you know what, we thought we got the word from the insurance
Right.
said that we're in network. So, well, so that is another like administrative hassle.
Yeah.
So right now, I was like, I'd rather just be upfront with the patient.
Yeah. Yeah. Have the conversation up front. This is what the cost is. Absolutely. And, you know, I really thought initially going out of some of these insurances that, well, one, you know, there's the part where you're like, oh my God, everybody's gonna hate me. Everybody's gonna be mad at me. Like, and we're kind of people pleasers by nature. Let's be real. Most of us are. That's fine. We'll all get over that eventually. But you know, in the root of it is that that is something we do worry about quite often. And it just, I feel like that initial fear that everybody was gonna be mad. Yes, there were a few people that were upset about it. Like those were the first one-star reviews that my practice got, and it was literally about insurance because I dropped their insurance. And I was like, "You know what? I'm just going to leave it on there because it's fine. Like the people that I want to see are going to see through what that is. It's not anything reflective of their experience with us. It's fine." But honestly, more often than not, it provided an opportunity for the people that did decide to still come see us and did decide that it was worth their time and their money to do. It was like I got to be so much more upfront about here's what this is going to cost. And that's it. And it includes X, Y, and Z. And they're like, great, I'll pay half deposit now. You're like, this is how these decisions should go. You know, I mean, this is like most of us do this with our dentists. Like, I feel like our dentists are
Right,
all out of
exactly.
network, you know? So it's
Yeah, I
just,
mean,
it's more
that is
transparent.
just just like how you say it, you know, when the patients, when we take the insurance out of the picture, it's really focused on whatever the patient painful situation.
Yeah.
The pain, focus on the pain.
Yeah.
Whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, whatever that they're here for to
Yeah.
see us,
Yeah.
right? So, and like all the guessing game about insurance is out the window. So we just have that one focus, and that's the only focus.
Right.
And it keeps the patient all grounded with that whole idea to make them feel better, right? They need to get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then if people who really rely on the insurance to like go for whatever insurance will cover, so
Yeah.
what if the insurance doesn't cover? Are you still going to move forward with your treatment plan? So now that we'd be able to decipher that out, but when we with insurance, we always try to figure out, okay, you know what, this drug it will be covered, the other drug doesn't cover. So we compromise what our treatment plan because just to get the insurance to
Yes.
cover.
Yes. Yeah. And that should never be the presentation, right? Like that should never have to be the thought and the decision maker for you.
Right.
Like I wouldn't want that as a patient either.
Yeah, exactly. If you are the patient, do you want to have the best solution for your problem? Or do you want just the mediocre, a so-so because insurance pay for it? So you go along with it. And that
Yeah.
is going back to a really things going on in the society. I have a very long conversation with my patient. She pay cash to see me. And she's like, she really like, you know, like all this chronic disease, right? You keep taking one drug after another drug after another drug because that's insurance cover for it.
Right. Yep.
So is it really healing me or really harming me?
Right.
So like she's like in her 70s, she said, I've been on medication forever for my whole life. And now I'm just come to realization. And she's like, all of a sudden, she's like, go to holistic doctor. She go to a
Right.
functional doctor, integrated
Right.
doctor. And she's
Yes.
like, oh my God, Dr. Nguyen, this is like, I'm 70. I'm open to the whole new world of like
Yes.
medical care.
Yes. 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 And it's so interesting too. I think I've noticed a big movement of that out here in the Pacific Northwest. You know, I mean, I think people were a little more into like natural remedies anyways, but it is definitely making a huge movement that way. And a lot of my patients, same thing. It's like you start kind of getting referrals from the more naturopath, holistic doctors because they know that you're approaching things more from this regenerative type of medicine. And then you're also sending your patients back to them because you guys are on the same wavelength with your mindset for how you're treating these patients. I have seen so many patients just completely have their lives changed by going to a different, like a physician that was more aligned with what they were looking for, you know? So yeah, it's really fabulous.
I mean, I think that in the medical community, that because medical doctors, like different specialty, we are specialists, so we see things different than internist or general practitioner, because they don't really do any procedure, so they see things different than us. I mean, yes, they kind of had to be part of the insurance, but again, when you're in the insurance, you'll be in that matrix. So it's like the movie Matrix, right? You do, and everything got wired the way that it's supposed to be. You cannot get out of that matrix. You cannot be unplugged, right? So who, for whoever doctors, like for you and me, that we'd be supposed to see certain things that we kind of like unplug out of that matrix, because we know what insurance can do to our practice, to our patient. And we here as a doctor, we should be aware so we can defend for our patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely be an advocate for them. Absolutely. And if, I mean, if you could go back in time, let's say hypothetically, what do you feel like you would do differently, both when you first got started? Like, would you have started the hybrid concierge just sooner?
Absolutely. If I knew that is an option. That
We had to
was
get there first. Yeah,
an
you and I spent a long time getting there,
option.
but
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, we did talk about that, as our, my husband and I, we reminisce like how the first day we start. If we just, went completely, even like just no insurance at all, how our life would be different. At that time, I think that it will be definitely different. I don't think whatever we did is something we regret of doing. I whatever I do in my career, that I don't think that I regret doing anything. I don't think that I fail of something. It's just that I learned that there's a better way. That's how I put everything in perspective that way.
Absolutely.
Well, at that time when we graduated, we don't have any patient. So we de need to have that volume. So we may need to be part of the matrix. So patient.
And that's what I was kind of thinking too. You know, I mean, I have talked with people that really want to start a direct care practice like from scratch right out the gate, and I worry about how long that would actually take to build and be profitable sometimes. I do actually think that it's a little faster and maybe a little bit easier to get to that profitable point if you've already at least kind of established your, you know, reputation in an area. Like people do already know you, you already exist, you're an established practice, and then slowly switching out of it. I wonder if that's a little bit less disruptive than, you know, trying to start from the beginning.
I definitely, I think everything we do, it depends on many factors. If that individual or doctors would like to, find the easy way out or find a hard way out.
Some of us like doing it the hard way.
Yeah, so one of those situations, like I tell whoever I came across, especially students or residents, I ask me questions. There's no right way or wrong way. There's really no right or wrong. I mean, some doctor may like just do great with direct care model or hybrid model, but some is struggle, or some decided to open their own practice when they come out and end up like fail miserably because they're in debt, and then they go back to work for someone. So it cannot be cookie cutters for this type of models. And yes, when you have something solid, yeah, you still have a certain foundation. Like what I see that T doing, that she create that foundation, and what you do in that you create that foundation for the practitioner. So at least set the expectations, say, hey, you know what? You can do this or you cannot do this. When we graduate, we don't have anybody to guide us.
No,
We don't
not at
have
all.
those coaching program that would
No.
say, you know, I wish I knew, right?
That would have been helpful years earlier. Yes.
So, I mean, that's like all the thing that we did, a lot of learning throughout the process. By calling the insurance every day myself, after I see patient, a long day seeing patient, I had to call to get authorization because my staff already left for the day and don't want to pay. I cannot afford to pay overtime.
Time and a half. Yeah, just call the insurance. Yep.
So, but that's how we learn. That's how we learn. Like every phone call to the insurance is not easy. So if the doctor never see that and then just think that, okay, by not taking insurance, it's an easy way out. We don't want to do it. You're still going to have a different hardship too, because you need to generate that volume.
It's pick your hard.
Pick your
You get
heart.
to pick your hard.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why I agree. I don't think there is like a right or wrong answer. You're literally just picking what's hard for you and then what's going to be the most important for you. And I did private practice right out the gate from residency, but I just knew somehow that I was not going to really be employable by anybody else. It just wasn't in my nature. And having that kind of self-assessment time, my third year was like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. I don't know how hard it's going to be. I don't know. But the autonomy that I get from private practice, I have never looked back in terms of the idea of being employed. That being said, there's a lot of people that really the idea of having to run their own practice years into it, it's giving them so much anxiety and stealing so much from their health that it's like, okay, you got to decide if this is worth it. Like, it may actually be worth it to still remain employed. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to deal with that. But it's choose your heart.
Choose
You
your
just got to
heart.
pick.
Absolutely. That's really no shortcut.
No.
I mean, if people really thought, oh, you know what? It's a shortcut. Like, Dr. Sarah, can you give me a shortcut to have a successful practice?
Oh God. Yeah. Questions I get all the time. Yeah. The shortcut is there is no shortcut. That is the shortcut. Like, the sooner you realize that, the easier this will be to just start knocking down the stuff that is in front of you that is a challenge. Like, and I actually also think that, like, really challenges are just opportunities that are playing hard to get. Like, if you can really identify what that challenge is early and quickly, and then start looking for that opportunity, it's not really as big of a deal anymore. But if you're just looking for the shortcuts around it, you're not going to find it. It's still going to be there. It's just going to haunt you later.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what do you feel are some of the biggest things business-wise that you did struggle with when you were kind of getting stuff really going in the beginning?
So the part that is I struggle the most is really the cash flow, because just like, well, my experience that when we decide to opt out during pandemic. So
It's a heck of a
after
time.
we got our PPP loans and we tried to retain all our staff. And the toughest part, we have to let some of our staff go because we realize that the model that we in is no longer feasible or sustainable, I would say,
Yeah, I
to
was
run a
wondering
practice.
about that because if you're not seeing as many patients, you really probably don't need three MAs and three front desk.
Correct. So that is toward the end of that year of pandemic. What is it like, 2020 or 2019? So 2020, that's when we decided to let go some of our staff member. And I think that is during that time it's tough to even for, you know, even if we still gonna be keeping them, it's very hard for people to engage because the pandemic, the mask mandate and all the policy and everything, people go into a lot of have a lot of mental issues that they not be able to sustain their regular composure anymore to be in a practice, a working environment. So they rather be at home, you know. So that kind of like in the way that we had to say goodbye to a few of my staff members that who've been with us for a long time.
That's so hard. Yeah, that's so hard.
And is one of those things that you have like as a business owner. that you have to make that kind of tough decision on doing things. And for me, I'm very attached with my patient, with my staff. So even, just a visit to break up with my patient that I'm gonna opt out, I actually feel bad. So
No,
we did
yeah.
that process. And when we opt out and the patient was like, I wish you're gonna come back to be part of the insurance one day. And I say, well, I don't know, it's one of those situations. And I felt a real reality hit me is that so the patient has really come to see me because I take the insurance. So that is another reality that I came to. It's like, okay, so they not really care what my skill is.
Then we get into the type of patients that are in your
Right.
practice.
So that is, they don't see the value our practice like for them. They don't see the value of my skill of my visit with them. So that's why they can think that my skill can be replicated to another doctor who take the insurance. That's fine. I'm not going to take offense to that. Okay. It's a two-ways relationship, right? We cannot force anybody. And so that's another thing that I learned throughout the whole opt-out process. I lost a good 40% of my patient.
That's actually not bad.
Yep. And then time goes by, patients start coming back and willing to pay cash.
Give that 2, 3 years. Boy, that does change, doesn't it?
Right. Yep. So those kind of thing. And I was like, okay, that is interesting, But yeah, so at the beginning, I'm all like depressed. I really went into depression, and I actually like throughout the whole opt-out process, I'm not sure it was with you, but I'm like angling. It's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should get back to certain insurance so at least I keep this
That
patient.
little self-doubt seed settles in
Exactly. Yeah.
there.
So like, I don't want to like fall off the wagon again, So
You do. You feel like you're an insurance addict.
yeah, you doubt yourself, and it's like, but that is like, I'd be able to get over it fairly quickly. But yeah, those are the things that you're gonna be bouncing back and forth, the idea, because we don't have anybody to guide us. And everybody, even like, we have colleagues do the same thing, but their situation is so much different than our situation.
It is. It is. Yeah. And are you
We just
still
wanna.
using kind of business coaches to help you through your business stuff too?
Yeah, so I still use that is one thing, and TJ has been, I'm still with TJ's program, and that process has been kind of like keep re-engage me,
Keeping you in the
and
business mindset.
yeah, in that mindset, because that if we not, we could have so easily we got isolated, and we're not sure, we start doubting our thinking, our decision, and it's just a community, whether that you be with someone that who knows your process, or you can help out other members, and then you see that it's a solidify your decision.
And I mean, I think there's so many good kind of programs like this now. I mean, and it really just depends on what you're after, you know? I mean, there's definitely the good programs. Like TJ's program was great. I did another one that was for physician entrepreneurs that was great. You know, and the group practice, the group idea, kind of the group mastermind is a really good one for a lot of people. I've solidified on an individual coach. I have an individual business coach because it's like, no, I need my hour of going through like exactly what I need to have done. Because you know, you get 2 or 3 businesses going and it's gets a little crazy. So, but I think that's so important to help keep us on that mindset and like really continuing to work on the business so that we don't get completely sucked into those levels of, you know, those times of self-doubt where we're like questioning everything we do because it's gonna happen. It's totally gonna happen. So, yeah.
And let alone that, we as owner, business owner, right? We are the leader of our practice. We struggle. Can you imagine our staff?
Oh God, yeah.
So most of the time, like go through all this, we so busy seeing patient every day, ins and out, right? We just say, okay, staff, MA, front desk, and everybody had to do their responsibility. But we never once really think about what did they really feel, because at least we have the decision-making authority. They don't.
They're just along for the ride. Yeah, I mean, if we can't be good leaders for them, then what are we doing? We're not really doing, I think, what we're there to do. I mean, yes, we are there to see patients, but like, you also are running a business. You are the
Right?
leader of this ship.
Yeah.
I
Yeah. I
think you
mean,
need to
I
steer.
had to, yeah, we had to had a business coach for our staff individually without us be part of it, because we want them to feel unbiased in terms of get coach upon whatever the struggle they're going through. And you know, and it just it's I would have to say that I had to get rid of all my staff, my whole entire team
Did you
got
really?
like literally like just get collapsed, destroyed, and rebuild everything. And that is something during the process, whoever going through the opt out and then convert into from, you know, insurance based to the hybrid, that is the progression that you're going to see. That transition is going to be a lot of headache because it's stressful. It's you have new team members. They're not sure, but at least they start out fresh. They have the mindset of taking certain insurance. Literally, that we have our staff who've been with us for so long could not talk money to our patient.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
right.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, of all the practices that I coach now, like, our biggest conversation is always employees. Always the employees. And it's helping other people, I think, get into the right position within your company, you know, where they're making the best impact, they're feeling good about it, you're getting what you need from them. Like, it's a whole balancing act. And yeah, if they've got a bunch of old habits coming in, it is really, really hard to get them on board, especially when you're completely like upending how you're doing things. You're like, so we're gonna take a hard left, everybody, and I hope you guys can hold on for dear life. Like, So,
But you know, something that we have to have something to look forward to is actually the future is so much better than the current situation that we in. Yep. So it's one of those like law of universe. Like, I'm not sure that you know we have heard of law of attraction, law of vibrations, and whatever that out there, you know. So, but that you know, when we at that level of mindset and everything is gonna fall into place, we just have to trust the process. The process may be really struggling because we so like we are doctors, we very analytical, we are very, very detailed, right? So every detail is actually it's our strongest, you know, strongest point, but it's also our weakness. We are our
Absolutely.
worst enemy.
We absolutely are. Yes. Yeah, I feel like my husband tells me that regularly, actually.
Yeah, we overthinker. We are
Oh,
overthinker.
absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you feel like is the best kind of mindset thing that you have now, right? That's continuing to help you keep moving forward, keep innovating, keep making the changes you need to make. Like, what do you feel like are the big mindset things you kind of remind yourself of the most often?
For me, I learned so many things through the process. One of the things that I learned the most is actually simplify everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. The KISS principle. As we like you said, like from the models of like, you know, niche down your services, right? Our services. I don't do everything anymore. I used to do ankle reconstruction. If you need ankle reconstruction, I refer to our colleagues down the street. You know, I don't mess around with it. If you need bunion hematoma, I'm here for you. If you need bunion and hematoma and you want to use the insurance for in-network, that's colleagues down the street may not do exactly what I'm doing, but you know what? They're there. So keep it simple. Keep it simple because people will gravitate to our expertise.
And making
So
that
that
name
is
for that niche,
the
right?
name for
Like,
that niche. So, and if we don't believe what we do, Nobody would know what we do and nobody will believe what we do. And it's like that's a, one of the thing, the hard lesson for me, that when I start out with my career, I said, you know, being a doctor, I said, oh, I can do this. Oh, X-ray. Oh, I look at your toes. Oh, I can do a lot of things with this. But is that really what the patient wants?
Is that what they're here for?
Is that what they're here for? Exactly. I remember I you know, there are things that there are times that I really literally begged the patient to be admitted because I don't want him to lose his foot. But did the patient really care about his foot at that point? So, like, keep it simple is very keep me grounded in that sense. I mean, yeah, sometimes that we so inundated with our day, we get attached to our patient, we kind of tunnel vision when we in the exam room. But when I walk out the exam room, I say, like, wait, what is Mrs. Jones wants? So before I even offer her what I can do, I have to ask the patient what they want. If the patient, they don't know what they want, we cannot help them. So that is a mindset that I see that is really coming to fruition. And, you know, we have so many reviews saying that, okay, for the first time that they've been to a doctor's office, that like somebody really listened to them.
Yes, that is probably the biggest difference that I think I hear now. Like, you actually listen, and it's like, wait, is this really that big of an issue? Because we forget, we get stuck in our own thing, and I've been doing it this way for a while, and you're like, man, really? But yeah, it is a huge thing for patients. They want to feel listened to, and sometimes it's a matter of, like, making sure that you are helping guide them to, like, okay, what is it you want? Maybe that's a process of discovery through question that, we need to be able to take the time to lead them through. So yeah, I like that.
So that's really that mindset. That's a mindset that I you know, of course we cannot take care of everybody. Of course we're human, right? There are good day and bad day, but in overall that we keep practicing it. And I think throughout the whole entire process of mindset, I actually pick one thing, you know, one thing I say, every patient, single patient, whether it's a new patient or established patient or follow-up patient, old-time patients, I pick one thing that I want to ask them. Every single patient, I ask them, and it's amazingly how you get the response. Like even though the patient, so simple, it's like, Sarah, tell me more. Tell me more. What make you feel? Tell me more about your pain. The patient's like literally like sit back in their chair and say, what? You want
Like,
to know
you
more
want
about
to
my
know more
pain?
about my pain? You're not leaving in 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes we forget that component.
Well,
We
especially
just
if they don't
like
have
do
time.
nothing. Exactly.
Now, if you had to give advice to somebody who really, like, one really solid piece of advice to somebody, maybe who's coming out of residency, or is, even coming out of employment and is thinking, like, man, I really want to do a private practice. I think I could do this. I'm just not sure. And they're kind of doing the back and forth, back and forth. I don't know if I really can be a business owner or not. What do you feel like would be some of your, like, bigger advice points for them at this point? Because you've been doing this for a while. You've seen some things.
I mean, well, I think like for, well, what I would say to them is pick out the location that they want to be in. It's very important. How many times we hear that, oh, I just go where they pay the most.
Yeah, especially, especially if you're looking at different healthcare systems. That's, yeah, you're going to be in that mentality.
So if the people who really just want to get focused on the salary, it can only get so far because, as we know, a business owner, well, all the employer like health system, big group, whatever, corporate level, when we pay our staff, we have a certain expectation. The more we pay, the more expectation we have. It's just a nature. Completely as a business transaction. There's no personal in that kind of format. So that's why you and me, we have similar that we refuse to be in that system because we know that we're going to work hard either way. And we don't want to take other people's headache and get paid to take care of other people's headache.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So that's a key.
Yeah.
Where they
Yeah.
want to be and rely on the money, eventually they get burned out. How many times we hear the people in the group saying that, I'm really burned out. I had to see so many patients, had to take call and everything. But you signed up for that.
Right.
You
There
signed
has
a
to be some
contract for
ownership.
that.
We
So
have to,
that I would say that's one thing. Like, you know yourself better. We cannot advise them what to do because we not them. But they know themselves. They have to dig deep, like search their soul and to find out what is they love to do the most. Because if you don't have to passion certain thing and your passion is just to make money, that's a different story. But you know what? Hardship come, like different things come with money. There's no free lunch anywhere, right?
No, there is not. That is the truth. Right. And that's fine. And I never want people to feel, like if that's the goal, if the debt is crushing to you and you're like, dude, I just need to do this for like 4 or 5 years and get this paid off because this is giving me so much anxiety. I can't deal with having the student debt because it's very real. Then, by all means, go do that. But like, know that there's going to be the lack of autonomy, lack of independence. Like, you're going to have the stuff, the hard, right? Choose your hard that's going to come with that. But boy, if you really kind of want a different way to do it and you want to treat and do the stuff you want to do, man. I think it's the way to go, like personally.
Definitely. And it's, I mean, because we were young once.
Felt like a really long time ago, but yes.
Exactly. I mean, we think we're invincible. Oh, hey, you know what? I can work like 60 hours a week.
Oh
What are you
yeah, I
talking
got
about?
this. I
Yeah,
could
I got
totally
this.
do this for a few years.
Right. But then the reality hit, and after a few years, your mental status
Oh God,
is
yeah.
messed you up.
Oh yeah.
But is can we recover from that?
Right. Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, our sanity is so important.
Yep. Yep.
And we've been through all that, and we see how burnt out, like I knew how burnt out like. And you know what? I don't want to go back there.
No.
And that
No.
is something that, for any young practitioner who coming out, that sanity is so important. And for me, what I do right now, which is the minimal invasive, the mobility is so important because what happened to me last year, I have a very traumatic medical experience
Oh, I didn't
that,
know that.
I was out for 2 months,
Oh,
and I knew,
gosh.
I saw that how much debilitated when we're not moving for 2 months. It's just something, it's so hard to recover. And, by doing minimal invasive surgery, the patient is walking constantly. The mobility is so important. I have 105 years old. I fixed hematocrit. He's walking. I have a 96 years old bunion correction that who everybody turned her down because her age. Those mobility is so important for that group of population.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we know the body declines as soon as people stop moving.
Oh
It
yeah,
just in
oxygen.
every way possible.
Right. I mean, and for us to think that we invincible, okay, we can recover whatever. Yes, maybe who to who will ever listen to us like that. Oh, you know what, Dr. Nguyen, you just weak sauce, whatever. Well, you know what, we don't want to go there. We'd rather keep our mind focused so that we can be here. We live once in this earth. We continue to do what we do. Keep the missions pushing forward. Keep our sanity. And I think that is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm constantly remind myself
I
that.
love that. I love that. Your story's always been so inspiring to me. So I was really excited when you were willing to come on and talk on the podcast. If you had, okay, so the last question I like to ask everybody is like, if you had two books, like business related books, and it doesn't actually even have to be, it could be any book really, but like if you had two books that really you feel like you read or listened to that made the biggest impact for you, what would they be? And if you can kind of touch on why.
So one book that I love is The Full Focus by
Ooh.
Michael Hyatt.
Okay. That one I don't think I've heard of.
Yeah.
All right.
So that book, it's actually give me very reassess my time management.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going in my to-be-read list.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. And
Okay.
full focus, and he has a full focus planner and everything. And I think that is a link up to that is the best year ever. That is the book. All right. And the second book, I would say the recently I just read is Let Them
Oh, yes.
by Mel Robbins, and I think it's become very popular and trending right now. That concept, especially for female, and I think for male too, we so easily get wrapped up into a situation because we natural fixer. And that theory, Let Them theory, it's really kind of like put us in the perspective.
I like that. I like that a lot. That is a really great book. That is a really great book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. If people wanted to reach out to you and ask about, especially any like speaking gigs or anything, where could they best reach you?
Yeah, they can always reach out to us. I'm sure on social media. As my handle is Dr. HTN188.
Okay. All
And
right.
they can email me. I have my personal email address is Dr. Helene at footdocnj.com.
Great. Great. All
Yeah.
right. Well, we'll make sure to kind of put that up on the post for us and on the website so that people have a way
Sure.
to get a hold of you. Thank you so much for being here.
It's been a overdue conversation, that's for
Yes.
sure.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to do this again sometime soon for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much. Thank you everybody for joining us today, and hopefully that was helpful.